that last week while I was away. I'm not sure how far you got into that, but over the last two chapters, we've looked at how a disciple, a serious disciple, has to be willing to give up three different things. That was family, because we talked about relationships, our lives, being willing to sacrifice our well-being for him, and our popularity. Okay, now that is a pretty good segue into the next one, which is that it might cost us stuff. Being a good disciple might cost us worldly possessions. Okay, I introduced this concept a couple weeks ago when I asked how you guys define materialism. Do you remember that? You don't remember that? Oh, you know what? It's because I didn't say that. I asked you to define popularity. That's what I asked you to define. All right. Well, who's ever heard of materialism? It's kind of a long word, and I didn't even start using it until I was your age. So what do you think it is?
I've heard of it, but I don't know the definition.
Okay, that's fine. So layman's definition would be someone who cares about material things too much. And when I say material, I don't mean cloth. I mean tangible stuff, stuff that you can touch, like cars, houses, games, money. That's called being a material person. And so materialism is more or less the worship of having stuff, or the worship of stuff. And that is one of the things that we must sacrifice to be a good disciple. Okay. So what do you guys think would be a good example of a material thing in your life that you have? Not that you think you worship, because we're not that far yet, but that you would say you enjoy owning, or that you enjoy your parents owning.
My TV.
Do you own your TV, or do your parents own your TV? Yeah. No, I enjoy our TV too. Now, especially because it's a smart TV, because our last one wasn't. But it's God enabled us to get it for a good price. Yeah, I do too. What about you guys?
I mean, I do enjoy the new car my parents were able to.
Oh yeah, I forgot they replaced theirs. That is definitely a praise. So nice to have reliable vehicles.
Oh my goodness, honestly, we wanted that specific car. Like, my mom wanted a Honda, she wanted a minivan, and we go into the lot, it's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there, yeah. It's definitely there. Providential. Rach, what do you enjoy owning?
Cats.
That's interesting, okay? I'd never... Pets don't really enter into my definition of materialism, but they should, because they're tangible, and it's a privilege to own one, because they cost money, and some people worship owning them. No joke. You know, you think about it's kind of a joke, but in a lot of stories, there's a crazy old cat lady in almost every story, and that's because their life centers around them too much.
Did the Egyptians worship animal gods?
Yes.
And, cats?
Yes. Anubis, specifically the god of the underworld, is in the figure of a dog, or the head of a dog, anyway. And there's another famous one that's an eagle or falcon. But yes, a lot of their false gods were in animal form. Yep. Yeah. Cats. I don't think cats were actually gods. They were considered the guardians of the underworld, so they would work with Anubis, because, supposedly mummies are afraid of cats. Anyway, so even though we might not be materialistic, it's hard to be materialistic when you're younger, because you don't have the money to buy all the junk that's available. Literally, even me, I don't work to be rich. I work to be satisfied and to serve God. But those people who go to school or whatever to get really, really well-paying jobs because they want stuff, that's who we would consider to be realistic. So why is, or realistic, materialistic, although it is very real. So why is material bad, if you haven't figured that out yet? It is closely associated with worldliness, okay? I'm going to read 1 John 2, and then for a minute, and then we're going to move into chapter 10, because Pastor Bennett actually is going to teach for me next week, because I will be teaching the college class. So I need, and I need to get to a certain point for his lesson to make sense. So, although he is, have you guys ever had him teach you before? Pastor Bennett?
I think so.
Okay. He's very flexible and...
It's been a very long time.
It's been a while, yeah. Yeah, he can pick up pretty much wherever I leave off. So, okay, 1 John 2:15 says, "Don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, God the Father, is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, is not from God the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever, or lives forever." Okay. So it is comparing love for things with lust. Which is, of course, a sin. You know, lust. All really lust is, it's desiring something to the point where you don't desire God anymore. Okay, it's desiring food isn't bad, especially when you're hungry. It's when you are a glutton and desire food more than God that it's a sin. So pride and possession specifically would be this in here.
Yeah, go ahead. So usually people who want high-paying jobs want to be rich, but so my grandpa Titus, he owns quite a bit of money.
That's the Kentucky one?
Yeah. Well, he does own a lot of stuff, but also another reason